Our Conversation from BAE Systems.
Hello and welcome to Our Conversation. This is the radio podcast made especially for the community of colleagues across the world. I'm Tim Smith, and this month we have a report from the recent AGM. We're off to the US for Military Appreciation Month, and of course we have your questions for Ian King. Talking of which, in the studio as ever is the CEO, Ian King. Ian, hello, how are you?
I'm very good, thanks, Tim. How are you?
I'm very well also. Well, let's get straight down to business. Bring us up to date then, please, with what you've been up to over the past few weeks. Busy as normal, I suspect.
Yes, busy as normal. We've had the annual general meeting. That was in the first week in May. We then followed that with the UK Trade Union Forum. This is where the national officials and the local officials come and talk with the management team. And then I followed that with a visit to the west coast of the US, where I went to see some of our investors.
Now, of course, Ian, you're in the process of handing over to Charles Woodburn. Have you been able to relax a touch, though, when you've gone into the office, or is the priority still work, of course?
No, the priority still has to be work and the commitments that I've given to the board and the executive as to what needs to happen between now and the end of June.
More from Ian in just a moment. For the moment, though, Ian King, thank you. Coming up next on the programme, as promised, we're off to the AGM.
Our Conversation.
Now, BAE Systems' annual general meeting is held every May. During this meeting, the chairman and Ian comment on the group's performance during the previous year, and shareholders ask questions and vote on resolutions. There's also examples of BAE Systems' work on display, and our reporter Nick Wallace went along to have a look.
Thank you, Tim. I'm just outside the main AGM hall in the exhibition area, which is divided into three zones: skills, technology and economic contribution. Let's head into the skills zone first. Hello, who are you?
Hi, I'm Catherine Pinder, a second year apprentice from BAE Systems in the Leeds office.
Okay, what are you demonstrating to the shareholders here?
So I'm demonstrating the Cyber Challenge. So myself and a group of apprentices from the Leeds office decided to create a game that showed threats. So the user just has to select the line where there's either three numbers in a row that are the same or three letters. And if they do that, then they get extra points.
How are the shareholders doing?
They're doing all right. Some are doing brilliantly and others need a helping hand, but it seems to be going well.
I'll leave you to it, Catherine. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Hello, what are you demonstrating to the shareholders?
Hi there, my name's Jamie. I'm demonstrating the Terrier armoured engineering vehicle using virtual reality, which supports our engineering processes.
What is it that's so special about Terrier?
So Terrier is an armoured engineering vehicle. It can be operated by both the commander and the driver. It has numerous engineering tools that can go with it, but it can be operated under armour, so it can be very safely taken forward into fire to create trenches, etc., for troops to move into safely.
Jamie, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Well, we've just been called into the main auditorium for the beginning of the AGM. Let's see what happens.
Well, good morning, everybody. Without doubt, 2016 was a successful and really a pivotal year for BAE Systems.
I'm pleased to report that 2016 was another good year for BAE Systems, a testament to our employees' skills and continued commitment in providing our customers with essential technologies and capability.
Mr. Chairman, on behalf of all of the shareholders, I would like to thank Ian King for what he has done for the company. We wish him the very best for the future.
Just to say thank you so much for that. I mean, it's only when somebody's going that you can tell them how good they are.
Nick Wallace reporting there from the recent AGM. Some nice words from the chairman, as we heard. He's waited all this time to tell you good things about yourself.
Just as I was leaving.
As AGMs go, was it a good one, Ian?
AGMs are always a sort of curate's egg of activity. You know, it's a great time to showcase our technology. You know, for those shareholders who want to ask questions about the company, it gives that opportunity. There was very strong positioning in voting on the resolutions. And then you get those people who wish that we weren't in the space of defence and security and we weren't doing what we do. And sometimes, as I had to do in one of the questions, which was talking about, you know, whether we should sell to certain countries in the world, just remind people what we do is fulfil the demands of armed forces for capabilities in defence and security. And we're very proud of what we do.
All right, Ian, for the moment, thank you very much. Coming up next, we're off to the US.
Our Conversation.
Well, Robert Wing is the president, Veteran Support Network for BAE Systems, Inc. in the US. He heads up a group which oversees the support of veterans and assists them in transitioning from active service to civilian life. And I'm very pleased to say he joins me now on the line. Robert, hello. Now, it's National Military Appreciation Month in the US. What have you been doing then to recognize veterans?
Well, Tim, here at BAE Systems, we do a lot of things to help recognize veterans. Our Veteran Support Network is part of the umbrella of the Multicultural Network. We're an employee resource group. So we do anything from events of a veteran panel to discuss the issues of transitioning from the military world to the corporate world. And then beyond that, we also held 21 different sites held flag dedications for the American flag for the Memorial Day weekend. So we're doing the best we can to represent BAE Systems as well as the veterans in our company.
And how exactly then does BAE Systems help veterans transition from deployment into civilian life?
Tim, some of these Marines and soldiers and the veterans that we have coming into our company are working on the same equipment and vehicles that they're using on active duty or reserve. And many of these encounter culture clashes or struggle. They struggle to transition and translate their military skills to the corporate world. So what we're doing is my team is working on a mentoring or buddy program. And what this is going to do is we have new veterans that are coming in within the company, is we're going to give them a new hire toolkit. And we're going to pair them up with a veteran that works for the company and give them that help for those, you know, first 60 days to help them with that transition. If they have any questions, they have somebody to leverage that support on. And coming from the military, you have a lot of camaraderie and you have that trust into somebody else that has also served. So you have that right out the door. You have that trust built into that relationship.
And why are veteran employees, would you say, so essential to making BAE Systems the company that it is today?
Well, Tim, we are actually honored this year. We were named number 2 on the Military Times Best for Vets Employers list. And the veterans, they take these skills that they learn within the military, and they're able to translate them to BAE Systems, whether it's leadership, whether it's working on these different platforms. And it's making us who we are today because these are things that aren't necessarily taught. They come with them when they come from the military. It's instilled in them, whether it's the discipline or their integrity. It's something that BAE strives for in the discipline to have, you know, to make us the company we are today.
Okay, Robert, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to talk. It was a true honor, and thank you again.
Robert Wing talking to us there. Ian, veterans and ex-servicemen and women, then very important part of BAE Systems, not only in the US, but of course all over the world.
No, all over the world. They're a fundamental key part of the people who work for the company, and it's very proud to see the reaction that you have in the US and how they do support them.
And of course, Ian, employees around the world do get involved in helping the armed forces, don't they?
They do, and it's a key part of our company giving process that we want to give to education, skills, technology, and to the armed forces, because that's what we do. We do defence and security, and we're very proud of what performance is and the capabilities that we provide. So we do encourage people to get engaged at all levels.
Okay, Ian, thank you. Stay where you are, please. Coming up next, we've got questions from your colleagues. This is Our Conversation, and coming up now, your chance to get your questions to Ian King, as promised. Let's get straight to it. Ian, if you're ready, here's the first one.
Hello, Ian. My name is Murray Hannah, and I am currently involved in the deployment of Phoenix within Combat Air UK. My question to you, should we be using our significant defence technology capabilities to tap into the commercial sector? From an MEI point of view, supersonic airliners looks to be a huge growth area in the future. What's your thoughts on that?
Great question. 10% of the group today are in commercial adjacencies. So this is where we're leveraging technologies that we've developed principally in the defence sector into commercial sectors like commercial avionics. So every GE engine that flies has our engine control. Every Boeing bar the 787 has our flight control on it. We do it for hybrid electric drives for buses and also commercial cyber. So it's not something that we're not used to in terms of moving that technology from defence sector into commercial sector. But it needs to be an adjacency where you can move those technologies. And one of the opportunities that we did have about 2 years ago was to invest in a company called Reaction Engines, where we could see there were both opportunities within the defence sector, particularly around unmanned technologies, but also to develop a new form of propulsion which could apply to your supersonic airliner if we could get there. So that was something that we did invest in for the long term, and we're pretty keen and pretty proud of what we're doing. So it is something we take seriously, and if anybody has any ideas, they should keep raising those ideas, because none of them are crazy ideas. There are technologies that can apply across all sectors.
Okay, interesting subject. Great question. Thank you, Murray. Good answer as well. Thank you, Ian. Let's get the next one.
Hello, Ian. My name is Alison Whitaker, Head of Audit at BAE Systems Australia. Reflecting on your time with BAE Systems, how has the role Australia plays in the company changed? And what do you think the future looks like for our business?
Australia has always been a key part of our business, Alison. Today is about 6% of the company. It is a provider of capability to the armed forces in Australia, and that is recognised in what is called the Commonwealth Treaty that we've signed, given the importance of some of those capabilities. Now, today it is more fundamentally a support and services provider, particularly in the air sector and the naval sector. So we are also participating at a systems level in the Global Combat Ship Programme, which is, supports the maritime strategy that got announced by the Australian government last week, in fact, and also the Land 400 programme, which is replacing a lot of their old land vehicles. So Australia both is vibrant today in its own strategy and has some good opportunities to grow from there.
Okay, Ian, thank you for that answer. If you'd like to get in touch with us, all you have to do is send us an email. Our address is ourconversation@baesystems.com. That's ourconversation@baesystems.com. And perhaps you'll be putting a question to Ian in our next and final programme for him, of course. So, Ian, your last few weeks then in the CEO's chair, what have you got planned? Anything you can tell us about?
A lot of travel coming up. So we've got an executive committee meeting in Washington. And believe it or not, we're starting the business plan discussions, what they call the phase one. It hardly seems a sort of snap away that we finished the last process with the board, but we're starting that. It's in the phase one. I'm going to visit our customers and our team in Saudi Arabia. And there is a quite important session coming up in the US, which is called the F-35 CEO Conference.
Okay, Ian, thank you very much indeed.
Our conversation from BAE Systems.
Well, Ian King has in fact now just left the studio, but I just wanted to reiterate that next time it is Ian's last programme. So we'll have a slightly different show for you, and I hope a slightly special show, and we'd love you to be part of it. If you have a final message for Ian, perhaps a story of your time working with Ian, or maybe a final question for him, then please get involved and email us at ourconversation@baesystems.com. That's with your special memories perhaps of Ian King. Our email address is ourconversation@baesystems.com. Now, the deadline is the 6th of June, so we hope to hear from you very shortly. And do please join us next time. But for now, for this month, from me, Tim Smith, it's goodbye.
Our Conversation, back next month.